Hi, this is Pastor Mike Gordon, and welcome to Bethel Brandon Sunday Message. For more information about this podcast and more resources, visit us at bethelbrandon.ca.
This morning we're going to talk a little bit about gifts, and not necessarily in the context that you might think. We've just kind of been through Christmas, and you think of birthday parties, you think of weddings, you think of celebrations, you think of TV game shows, you know, where at the end of the show they say, everybody look underneath your chair, and there's an envelope for a free widescreen TV, right? And everybody's like, yeah, all right, whatever. Or the new CD from, I'm sorry, that's not going to happen this morning. I haven't put a widescreen and TV underneath every single one of your chairs, but I meant to put some money in my pocket, and I was going to give it away, but I didn't. Other than a dime, which I didn't mean, I meant to bring more money, so I won't even give that away. But a gift is something that's given willingly. You just give it, right? You're not forced to. Sometimes at Christmas we feel like, well, they got me a gift last year and I should have got one, so maybe I should get them one this year. But it also can mean it's given as a talent or an ability. A gift. Someone has a gift. Someone has been given something that they can use. Something is given. And I believe that God gives all of us gifts. And I've spoken kind of on a little different angle of this a couple times. If you've been at Bethel for a long time, you've heard me speak. And I think twice since I've been here, I've kind of used the title gifts. And this will probably be the third time. So some of it will tie in, but much of it is much different. And a lot of it was challenged to me from working and helping in kids' church. And a kids' church lesson that kind of brought something out to me that I'm hopefully going to bring out to you this morning. And how many people here have brothers or sisters? Anybody an only child? What's it like? And if you have your brother and sister, how well, don't answer this one, okay? How well did you get along with them? Some good, some not so good. Were they the kind of brother or sister that brought you gifts every day and brought you breakfast in bed and told all their friends how amazing and awesome you were? Or were they kind of the brother or sister that knew exactly which buttons to push at exactly the right time to get you going? One story I just told over Christmas, my parents gave, a few years ago, gave us a snowmobile because when I grew up, my grandpa gave us a snowmobile, so it was kind of tradition. I told the story to the kids that I said, I don't want you doing this, but I remember growing up and my sister was always sitting on the back of the snowmobile, and I can remember hundreds of times pushing the gas and at the same time kind of pushing back a little bit at the same time, and she'd go slightly, someone shaking their head, that I was, you were on the back or you were on the front pushing? And she would go sliding up the back. And she thought it was fun most of the times, but sometimes she didn't, right? So in that instance, I wasn't necessarily the greatest brother or sister. How many people have ever been distracted? Oh, over and over again, you're distracted right now? So you have to kind of, I worked with youth for many years, so you have to kind of oblige me for a little bit. We're going to play a little game, okay? And I'm sure any of you, most of you know it, but if you don't know it, I'll explain it to you. And most people probably heard of the game Simon Says, right? And all you have to do is do what Simon says. If Simon doesn't say it, you don't do it, right? So are you willing to help me out here a little bit this morning and maybe have just a little bit of fun in church? Not too much, just a little wee bit. Okay, so if I say Simon says, you do it. If I don't say Simon says, then you don't do it, okay? So Simon says, put one hand up in the air. Simon says, put two hands up in the air. Simon says, wave them around like you just don't care. Stop. Oh, all you people that stopped, Simon didn't say. You were distracted, right? You were like pushed one way or the other way. You were like, oh, he put his hands down. You watched what I did instead of what I said, right? And one other thing kind of as we get going this morning. In the ancient world, hospitality was a big thing. It talks in the Old Testament about the foreigner or the people coming through. And Israel as a nation, not all nations were hospitable. But God had said, I want my people to be hospitable. To take the foreigner and to take them in and to treat them well. And when they come into the city, find them a place to stay. And even today, hospitality is a big thing. We have hotels, we have restaurants, we have convenience stores. It's receiving people like family, even when they're strangers. See, most of us kind of know, not everybody knows, but most of us kind of know what it's like to receive your family, right? To receive people that you know, to have them over for dinner, to have them there at Christmas, to have them there for your birthday, to bring them into your home, to see them in the foyer and that kind of thing. But to receive total strangers as if they were your immediate family. It's kind of the meaning of hospitality. And you think of the waiter at the restaurant when he serves you at the table. And the waiter that really gets the tip is the waiter that kind of almost seems like your family, right? They know when you need a drink topped up. They don't come by and ask like 15 minutes after. You don't have to wave them down. And they kind of almost get into your space a little bit of, you know, how you doing today? Or, oh, it's your birthday. Oh, that's great. I'm going to bring you a cake or whatever, that kind of thing. And they kind of really kind of get to know you. And they make you feel like, oh man, Applebee's is the best place in the world, right? Rather than going to my cousins, I would like to go to Applebee's because I feel much more received and much more open and very hospitable there. And there's all sorts of different ways of hospitality. In the church, obviously, we have people that are ushers. We have people that are greeters. We have people that are even on the worship team partially would be serving people to lead them in worship, right? And it all involves hospitality. And this morning, if you have your Bibles there, and there's one under the chair if you don't, you could turn to Luke chapter 10. And we're going to read about four or five scriptures from there. And some of you will probably be guessing what it is already. And you've probably heard this. Actually, Pastor Mike Gordon even spoke on this not that long ago. But I'm going to pull something out that I think that God showed me through a children's lesson that I think will be beneficial for us this morning, that you'll be able to take something home this Christmas season and heading into the new year. Luke chapter 10, starting at verse 38. It says this. It says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Mary was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Now, I want you to kind of take off your, I've heard this message 16 times before, hat. And I want you to kind of take off your church hat. And possibly apply it to wherever you work this morning as well. And take off your hat of, I'm thinking about the dinner that I have to get to and that kind of stuff. And just kind of look at something and hopefully you get something new from this morning. And hopefully God speaks into your heart as he spoke into my heart through a children's lesson that I was reading one time when I was helping Pastor Charles do. The thing it said this, and we're going to look at a couple things in here this morning. But it said both Mary and Martha had gifts of hospitality. Both of them had gifts of hospitality. They just expressed it in different ways. Martha welcomed Jesus by working hard to prepare a meal. Mary welcomed Jesus by listening attentively to Jesus, what Jesus had to say. Martha was devoted to hospitality by cooking a meal. Mary was devoted to hospitality by spending time in conversation. Martha teaches us that we can serve by working and taking care of others. Now, have you ever worked with other people on any sort of a project, whether it be making a meal or at university? I see some people shaking their heads. And you kind of like, everyone should pull their weight, right? But there's always one or two people that aren't quite pulling their weight or whatever. And you're like, we could get this done so much faster if everybody just focused and worked on it hard, right? And how does that make you feel when you're working very hard and the person beside you isn't working hard? Kind of makes you feel unappreciated. Kind of makes you feel like maybe I should just quit too. Kind of makes you feel like somebody needs to take them by the scruff of the neck and bring them around and just show them how this is really done, right? It kind of makes you frustrated. It could be household chores, could be a class project, could be anything that you're working on. And then Mary, on the other hand, teaches us that we can serve by listening to others and paying attention to them. And the opposite is true. Have you ever been at a restaurant with a friend and having a conversation, and it kind of gets to a conversation that's kind of not really intimate, it's not the word I'm looking for, but a conversation that's really focused and really meaningful, and the table beside you is just being ruckus and being loud? Or have you ever gone to, we experienced this not too long ago, about a week or two ago, we went to a movie, and the row behind us, not me, I was sitting at the good end of the row. I enjoyed the movie. Marina and some of the other kids were sitting at the other end of the row, and the kids behind them were like talking and eating popcorn and kicking the back of their chair, and the mother was sitting on this side of the theater, and the kids were sitting on this side of the theater, and every once in a while, the mother from this side of the theater would say, "Hey, be quiet over there," right? So you're trying to enjoy a movie, you're trying to have a conversation, you're trying to listen, you're trying to pay attention, and you're just being distracted, right? Like other people aren't. Can't you see? I remember my grandma, this isn't in my notes, but I remember my grandma's funeral. Some of you would still remember Sarah Mitchell that came to this church. I remember leaving the church, and I remember driving down Richmond in the second car with the family behind the hearse. And it's kind of the first time that I'd been in the family car. I'd been there before, but I'd been out in Rivers where it was kind of isolated and less people and that kind of stuff, not a whole lot of traffic. And it used to be that cars kind of pulled over and stopped, but it was kind of around that time where people kind of stopped doing that. And everybody just kept driving by, right? And I remember thinking just, why doesn't the world stop? Why doesn't everything else around me just kind of shut down? Because my grandma has passed away. And you've all experienced that, right? You've had that moment where you're like, the focus is here. Why is everything else still happening around me? Why is everything else still going this way and that way and the other? And I think a lot of times in this message, we focus on the Mary has chosen the better thing. And I think there's something to be found there too. But I sometimes find a lot of truth in the negative. I think we sometimes identify almost more with the negative to be like, oh yeah, that was me, and maybe I should let God's Holy Spirit touch my heart and change me a little bit in the direction. So where I'd like to focus this morning is Luke chapter 10, verse 41. It says this, it says, Martha, however, became worried and distracted by many things. I think they each had a gift of hospitality. But I think Mary started kind of getting a little bit distracted. She had her gift, and she was doing what she'd been called to do. And I believe that Jesus had probably been there many times before and probably had an amazing meal and sat down with her. But I think she was being distracted. In that moment, Jesus wasn't hungry. He had just, if you read the previous before in the context, the verses aren't in the original manuscripts and that kind of stuff. Before that, he had picked out his 70 elders, and he had sent his 70 elders out and said, go into all the places that I'm coming and go get it ready and prepare. And he had just had some time and talked to different people and all that kind of stuff. And he kind of comes home. I mean, sometimes you come home and you just want something to eat, right? But sometimes you come home and you just want to talk, or you just want someone to have a conversation with, or you just want this, right? And I think sometimes with our gifts, with our talents, with how we serve people, we get more focused on my gift than on serving people. I think we do it in the church too. I lead worship a lot, or I speak a lot. Not a lot. I used to speak more, but with the youth, that kind of stuff every week. But I enjoy the privilege of speaking. And we get focused on the, that was a pretty good message this morning, wasn't it? Wow, there's, 150, 200 people out there all kind of looking at me, right? Woo! Yeah, that's pretty good. I can really, let's just do this for a while, okay? You guys just sit there and just look at me. Just look at me. Right? And the focus becomes me, right? Instead of the focus of my heart being, I want to serve you. I want to give you something this morning that challenges your heart and makes you think about the gifts and the talents and the abilities that God's given you and say, God, I want to use these to serve other people. And Martha got distracted. She got her focus off of, I'm sure there would have been a point in the story where Jesus would have been like, okay, now let's go eat or whatever, right? And she could have enjoyed that. But she became distracted and focused on Mary's actions and judged her for them rather than continuing to express her love through service, while Mary displayed her love through presence. Martha became focused on the expression of her gift rather than the recipient of her gift. And I wrote in my notes there, I put, Jesus wasn't hungry. It's kind of like the old lady that wants to cross the street and the little Boy Scouts there, and she's actually wanting to cross the street this way, but the Boy Scout's got to earn his badge, right, to get to the next level in his scout leadership. So he grabs the lady by the arm and takes her across the street this way, and she didn't want to go there, But the Boy Scouts, like, there, I helped an elderly person. Can I have my badge? And they're like, oh, that's so amazing. That's so good. But the elderly person is further away from where she actually wanted to be than before he started out, right? So he may have gotten his badge, but the intent behind the badge was not served. The purpose wasn't fulfilled. It didn't meet the need of the person who was waiting. Here's the challenge in this morning. And I'm pretty sure we're going to be finished in good time this morning. We kind of went from there. But here's the challenge this morning that I want you to kind of think about in serving. And where's your focus? Where's your focus in your life, in your heart, in your job, in your family, in your skills, in your abilities? And sometimes we have skills and abilities in the natural world that I remember hearing Springs Church in Winnipeg. There's a whole bunch of doctors that are kind of high professionals, but they just love parking cars on Sunday at Springs in the middle of minus 40 degree weather, right? And it's just something that God has placed inside of them that they don't get to fulfill in their dentistry role. But when they come to church, they say, you know what, I'd just love to be able to serve and to park cars. And they just love getting out there and talking to their other friends and parking all the cars and being there to serve. So sometimes your ability that maybe you're working in, and the best and the most amazing thing is when you get to do your job 24/7 of something that you enjoy, that you're skilled at, and you get to serve people in doing that. But Pastor Len said this, and over the last few weeks, I've heard it over and over again, and these are a few different examples of where we kind of lose our focus or get off track, or where we need to bring our focus back into alignment, hopefully this morning. Pastor Len, I remember saying it like this, and I never heard it before, but it was probably 5-6 years ago, and it came back to my memory. And he just talked about gift projection, of saying, this is my gift, and everyone should be like me, right? I'll pick on Madeline a little bit just because she happened to be looking at me, so nobody else look at me. Madeline is a prayer warrior. She prays. And I think most of you that know her know it. But she could project that gift on everyone else here. Say, you got to be here. How much did you pray last night? You got to pray, which some ways would be good to be challenged, right? But if all you're doing is taking the gift you have and saying everyone needs to be like me, pick on Dwayne, he's looking at me too, and he came back as late as I did last night from the wedding. I love music. I could take the whole morning in worship and just say, let's just do, like when we do fusion, it's great. Dwayne says, you know what, music doesn't really, I mean, I go to church and I sing and I believe that I'm called to worship God, but it's so much more than music. And that kind of challenges me to get outside of my bubble and say, oh yeah, worship's more than 20 minutes on Sunday morning, right? It's more than music. It's more than just coming together and singing as a church. That's something that God has called us to do. It's a part of a biblical mandate and that kind of stuff, but it's not the whole mandate, right? Whereas I could care less if we had coffee. Don't shoot me. I could care less if we have coffee in the foyer because I don't really drink coffee. But Dwayne's a little bit more of a coffee guy, right? So if I just said, let's get rid of the coffee because I don't care about coffee, then I'm kind of getting rid of somebody who loves to serve because of coffee. And it gives an opportunity for people to come and to visit and to celebrate and to work together, right? If somebody has a gift of administration, anyone who is a visionary, which I definitely am not. It amazes me, these people that can have this vision for this huge, huge event. I love taking a piece of that and saying, I'll run with that and I'll get it done. But somebody who says, let's create Walmart. Walmart had never existed. And they're like, let's create a whatever superstore that goes all across. They're great at throwing out an amazing idea, right? And here's a big idea, right? And everybody who's gifted administrative says, well, how are we going to do that? How are we going to pay for that? How are we going to get that done? How are we going to get the groceries from here to there? How are we going to get this done, there, that? And if you're in business, you kind of know that, right? If you enjoy being a manager, if you enjoy being the person who owns the business, I always have my hats off to people that own businesses, right? And you got to make the money, but you got to pay the employees. And how big do you get your business? Do you hire another employee? Do you get another person, another store? Do you start another store? And behind all of that, is it just about making money or is it about serving people? But taking your gift, you've lost your focus if you are constantly saying everyone needs to be just like me. I wrote it out here. I didn't get time to put it on the PowerPoint, but this is from one other time when I spoke on gifts. These are the gifts that I see in the Bible that all of them except for one or two, I could take you to scripture and verse, and when Jesus walked on this earth, he operated in one of these gifts. For example, the first one, administration. when he fed the 5,000. What did he do? He didn't just say, here's the food, go feed everybody. He said, take everybody, put them in groups of 50, have them sit down so they're not walking everywhere, right? Did you get one? Everybody's walking all over. Have them sit down in groups, and very administratively. Then he had the 12 disciples and said, okay, I'm not going to do it all. I'm going to give this to the 12 disciples. You guys take the food and walk around. But these, the gifts of administration, the gift of apostleship, the gift of craftsmanship. Many of you, how many people are construction workers? Gift of craftsmanship. Gifts of creative communication, gifts of discernment, encouragement, evangelism, faith, giving, healing, helps, hospitality, intercession, interpretation, knowledge, leadership, mercy, miracles, prophecy, shepherding, teaching, tongues, and wisdom. And I like having that up on the screen and having people look at it and say, look at that, and is any of that not God? Because sometimes we think, you know, the gift of prophecy, man, that's God. But the gift of administration, now that's kind of just, you know, we just kind of do that. But all of it is God. And God takes a little bit of all of that, just like Mary and Martha. He put the gift of hospitality in them. They exercised it in a different way. But God puts a little bit of that because no single person can show God. None of us can fulfill who God is, right? But you put us all together, and you put it together into a body of Christ with people with administration, with gifts of healing, with gifts of pastoralship, gifts of all these different kind of stuff. And you call it a church, and you call it a body of Christ, and people come together on Sunday or on Wednesday for youth or on whatever, and they take their gifts and say, I'm going to take the gift God's given me, and I'm going to serve. My focus is going to be using what God has given to me. It's amazing what it could look like and can look like. Joel Osteen. I know there's people that love him, people that hate him. I used to hate him. I thought he had nothing to say. But then I heard him one time say publicly on a show, he said, my gift is encouragement. And I thought, huh. And I started listening to Joel a little differently. And I don't think you can walk away from one of his messages without feeling like you've got greatness in you. There's a better day coming. It's going to be great. You know, if you can keep giving, if you can keep going, if you can keep the next door, the next step. He talks about, I heard him talk one time about 24 hours can make all the difference, right? Right now, you might be going through hell. But 24 hours from now, one step, all of a sudden, you're in the glory of God. All of a sudden, everything has changed. Everything is different, right? And now when I listen to his messages, they still sound a lot the same over and over again. But I sure hear the gift of encouragement. And that gift of encouragement is something that many people need, which is partially why I think he's become so widespread, that kind of thing, right? And when you hear it through that, oh, he's a gift of encouragement. You know, he's not a theological, prophetic, this kind of whatever, this kind of thing or whatever. But he's an encourager. He just likes to encourage people and be encouraged. And I think if you listen to it through that perspective, all of a sudden you think, oh, that's... And he said it like this. Just a couple weeks ago as I was getting ready for this, he said, I have an SUV that parks in, I don't, but he does. He's probably got four of them, I don't know. He's got an SUV that parks in his driveway that he drives all the time, right? So it's a great vehicle, it's a big vehicle, you can get eight people in it, you can go get the groceries, if you had kids and they had hockey, you can put all their hockey equipment and that kind of stuff. And he says, you know what, but I love watching racing. And I have no idea why, but he loves watching the Indianapolis 500. I can't understand why you would want to watch cars go around and around and around. But he says those Indianapolis 500 cars are created for speed, right? On the straightaways, they're doing over 200 miles an hour. And they're coming to that corner and they're turning. And he says, but inside that race car, there's no room for a passenger. There's no air conditioning. There's no radio. There's no room for your groceries. No room for your luggage, that kind of stuff. And he says, you know what? All they really do is turn left. They're designed to turn left, right? Because they're constantly turning left. They never, in all 500 laps, turn right, except for if they're going into the pit crew. And he said, that car is flashy and that car is fast. And I'd love to have that car and just open it up. But he said, most people would probably practically pick the SUV, right? We like the glitter and that kind of stuff. And he said, if I took my SUV out on that Indianapolis 500 racetrack, it wouldn't do very good, right? There's no way, if he came into that turn with his SUV at 200 miles an hour, took that first turn, every single person in the crowd at that end would be running for their lives because this SUV would be coming over and over and over again into the right. But again, then if he took that sports car or that Indianapolis 500 car home, put it in his driveway, had to go get groceries, he'd have to go, especially if he was like our family with five kids, he'd have to go to the grocery store and back probably 200 times to get all the groceries home. And he says, you know what? Sometimes we try to run in a race that we weren't designed for. And that's not saying anything about the race car. That's not saying anything about the SUV. But that's saying something about who God has created us to be. And we need to find out the gift God has given us and say, God, I'm going to perfect that. God, I'm going to be the best at that. God, I'm going to develop that. God, I'm going to take that and show the glory of God as I serve other people. Two others just really quick, and then we'll kind of wrap it up. How many people were here last week when Trevor Dick was here? Played the violin? It jumped out at me like lightning because I knew what I was speaking on. He was up here and he was talking about his dad. His dad was a doctor over in Africa and he built a hospital. He did all this kind of stuff. And he said, as a kid, you know what? I felt like to serve God, I had to become a doctor. And I had to take on my dad's mantle. And he said, but those weren't my gifts. I was gifted musically. I love playing the violin. He said he feels like he's telling the story of God when he plays the violin. And he said, you know what? It took a long time for me to realize that that's who God had created me to be. He hadn't created me to be my father. He'd created me to be me. My dad was that, and he was gifted in that. And I wasn't. I was created to be this. And the other one that jumped out at me about 3 weeks ago, Pastor Mike Gordon was speaking on the urgency of Christmas. And he used an illustration in London that people were getting frustrated and mad and like calling into the dispatcher's office all the time because the city transit buses were constantly driving past people at bus stops and getting back to the thing. And so the dispatcher goes to all the bus drivers and he says, you know, how come you're driving past these people? How come all these people are frustrated and they're calling me and I'm running out of time and I'm getting frustrated myself because of all these people being frustrated? And the driver said, well, our schedule is so tight that if we stop to pick the people up, we're not going to be on schedule. And he's like, what's the point, right? And yet you flip it to the other side. I used to ride the bus, and in minus 40, I would kind of time it because I knew the bus was supposed to be there at 10:20. So you're out there at 10:15 to catch the bus. And if the bus isn't there at 10:20 and it doesn't show up till 10:30 and it's minus 40, you're calling the dispatcher too, right? And saying, he's picking me up, but he's picking me up 10 minutes late, and I'm freezing my fingers and toes off, right? So there's both sides of it. I mean, there's gifts and there's skills and ability. When you can put the schedule together with the people and get them picked up at the right time and to where they need to go, it's amazing who God can put us all together to be. The gifts of God has given us are meant to serve others, not show off your great talent. I think we all like to show, some people more than others, but depending what personality you are. And it's not bad to look good, but if it all becomes about me, then you've lost your focus. And in this Christmas season, God sent Jesus, and a lot of our focus is on Jesus, but he didn't send Jesus to be a painting on the wall or be something that we do worship him, but he sent Jesus to serve humanity. And Jesus, you can see both sides. What did he do? On one hand, he washed feet. And he served people. On the other hand, in Revelation, it says he's coming back as a victorious warrior leading an army, right? And he's not doing that because he's like, yeah, woohoo, I'm the guy now, all right? He's doing that to serve. He's doing that out of a heart for people and a heart for reaching out to people and saying that's who God has called me to be and that's who he is. Jesus is willing to wash feet. And there was someone in the office not too long ago, just 2-3 weeks ago. And they help out in the church. And they were having conversations with people. And some people were standing there kind of needing to get nowhere to get and that kind of stuff. And the person that came into office was just in tears. Can't they see those people that are just standing there? And I need to ask myself that question many times too when I'm speaking or when I'm leading worship. Can I see the people? If I'm up here and I can't see the people, it's all for naught. If you're ushering or greeting or helping with kids' church and you can't see the people, you're like, I've got the badge. I'm the children's worker. But there's a kid sitting in the corner crying with his nose running, and you're like, I've got the badge. I've got the scout badge. I got my service. I've done kids' church. I've done usher. I've done this. I've done that. And I'm checking them all off. But you can't see the people. Then you've kind of lost your focus. Like Mary, she got distracted. She had a gift of hospitality that was to serve and was used and was God-given. And Jesus, I'm sure, edified her in that many times before. But she lost her focus and started thinking about other people and what they were doing instead of how she was serving people. I wrote it like this once, and then maybe the worship team can come start getting ready. The person who serves the table works different than the person who eats at the table, which is different than the person who has the conversation at the table, which is different than the person who cleans the table, is different than the person who imagines an entirely different kind of table in every household in Canada. But one thing's for sure, they're all gifted and they're all working. You might think the person beside you is not working, but if they're using their God-given gift, some people never discover their gift, and my challenge to you this morning partially is to discover who God has called you to be, not who your spouse is to be, not who your pastor says you should be, not who your neighbor says you should be, not who your father, who your mother says to be, who God has called you to be, what gift God has placed in you, and then take that gift. And some people do discover that gift, but it never gets past self-glory. I'm good at this, and it's me, right? Never gets past that. Some people discover their gift and they get past feeling self-conscious about it, which is sometimes the case. They get past feeling great about it and they get to the point where they serve other people. And that's amazing when they get to that point. I had it in my notes there too, where if someone asks you to help in kids' church and you say yes, that counts for nothing. But if you say yes and you go to kids' church, and you take the gifts God has used you, and you serve those kids, that counts for everything. God takes note and says, a cup of water given in my name to someone who needs a cup of water. An encouraging word at a cash register given to someone, I take note of that. A conversation as someone comes into the church and I shake their hand and say, good morning, I'm glad you're here. And that person needed that. A pastor gets up and preaches and hopefully has something to share. And it touches a heart and somebody says, you know what, my focus for 2020 needs to change a little bit. I need to discover the gift God has given me. We need to slow down. And in the kids' lesson that I talked about earlier, it said, it had them close their eyes. I'm not going to get you to do this morning, but it had them close their eyes. And it said, okay, kids, just slow down. Is Jesus hungry? In the context of Mary and Martha. And if he is, let's feed him. I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was in prison and you came and visited me. I was naked and you clothed me. Let's just slow down. Close our eyes. Does Jesus need someone to talk to? He's just been out putting together this 70 people, and then we all know what it's like to work with maybe people that we employ of 10 people. Or people that we employ, or maybe some people have larger companies that have 50 people. And Jesus had just put together the 70 people organization and explained to them this, and you go to here and you go to there. And I'm going to be over there shortly, so I'm going to send you two over there to kind of get things ready and get organized. And he was just like, oh, man, that was a lot of work. I'm feeling kind of frustrated. He was fully human, fully God. And part of him, I think, was kind of just like, I don't really need answers. I just need somebody to talk to. And at that moment, Mary chose the better thing. And she used her gift of hospitality to listen. And if we can be a church that takes our gifts and our skills and our abilities and says, God, I want to lay them before you at my job site, my home, at my church. And God, I know not everybody's coming to serve, but when I walk through those doors of church on Sunday morning, I want to be there to serve people. And people that are strangers, I want to treat them like family. Some of you get that. I could point out people that I know that have gifts of hospitality in you. You're constantly giving gifts. You're constantly like, oh, yeah, it's good to see you, that kind of stuff. And I wouldn't say I'm quite that person. I'm glad you're here, but I'm not. The most Marina is much more hospitable than me. So. But just to slow down, and just before we sing one last song, I was in the dentist's office with one of our kids, and flipping through a magazine, and some of you will know who Henry Winkler is from Happy Days, the font, hey, the leather jacket, all that kind of stuff. How many people remember, watched Happy Days, Archie, or all that kind of, yeah. And he said this, which I think is God-inspired. I'm going to change it a little bit in a second, so don't tell Henry I changed his quote, but I'm sure most of you won't see him, but you might be able to Facebook him or Twitter him or Instagram him. But he said this. He said, I tell every child I meet, you have greatness inside of you. And your job is to figure out what that is, dig it out, and give it to the world. I'd like to change that a little bit this morning just as we close. God has placed greatness inside of you, all of you. God has placed gifts inside of you. God has placed amazing things inside of you. And God has placed those things there, but they're not fully developed. You need to find them. You need to dig them out. God has placed greatness inside of you. And your job this morning, I challenge you, is to figure out what that is, to dig it out, and to give it to the world. Give it away. We're going to sing a song in just a few seconds. It just says, God, I'm waiting here for you. And my challenge to you as we sing that song is just to say, God, where's my focus? When I grew up, there was a song we sang that just said, Jesus and others and you. What a wonderful way to spell joy. Focusing on Jesus, focusing on others, and then focusing on ourselves. Not that we're always run over, but just taken. And I have a little sticky on my computer. This is the last thing, and then we're going to sing a song. I have a little sticky on my computer that I read once that I keep there, and it says flowers never compete with the flower next to them. They just bloom. Don't be distracted. So lots of times we speak on Mary and Martha, and we speak on Mary chose the better thing. But my focus this morning is don't be distracted. Martha got distracted. She got off blooming where she was. So I invite you to stand with us. And as we're singing this song, if you want to just let them sing and use the gift they've been given, and you want to just talk to God right where you are, you're welcome to do that. And once we're done that song, I'm going to come back and just dismiss us this morning. What if every single person here this morning left and showed up for work on Monday morning with that attitude of worship? Cashier saying, I'm waiting here for you to serve you. The person driving the bus, I'm here to serve you. I'm thinking of, as they're singing that song, I'm thinking of Jesus. One of the other gifts is prophecy, right? And he sat at the well and he waited for the woman with the five husbands, that kind of thing. And he was waiting there not to condemn her, but he was waiting there to give her a gift of hospitality and to prophesy over her life. And it wasn't about the prophecy, it was about the person. So God, this morning as we leave this place, Lord Jesus, Father, I pray that something from you will be imparted into people's hearts and imparted into people's lives. And God, at this Christmas season, at this Christmas time, Lord Jesus, Father, where you imparted your Son to us, in this world to serve us by dying on a cross to pay the penalty of our sins. God, we receive that gift this morning. God, we open the door. You stand, Revelation says, you stand at the door and you knock, waiting to serve us and to forgive us and to set us free. So if there's anyone here this morning, Lord Jesus, just hearing the knock of Jesus on their door, and saying, I need to accept you as my Lord and Savior. God, may they just open that door. And God, may all of us be challenged in 2020 to not be distracted, but just to bloom like the flower. God, amongst so many other flowers here this morning, Lord Jesus, Father, that you've implanted greatness into. And we give you the honor, we give you the glory, we thank you for every person who's been here this morning to be a part of this service in whatever way, shape, or form. And God, we pray for Pastor Mike Gordon as well as he's home for Christmas with his family that he hasn't seen for quite some time. God, we just pray that you bless their time together. And God, let it be peaceful and restful. And God, just speak into his life as well. God, the direction and the challenges that you would have him give to us as a church as we go forward in 2020. So we give you the honor, we give you the glory in this place. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for taking the time to listen. Let's continue the conversation online. Visit us at bethelbrandon.ca or follow us on Facebook.